special people here today because it's their first time. We just want to welcome Frankie, Herman, I hope I get this right, Shekinah, Talitha, Connie, Ernest, Shane, Chris. It's your first time. And if maybe we missed you, we just want to say on behalf of our church, welcome. And it is our privilege to serve you. If you're looking for a home church, if you've been looking and said, I want to find a church that has a vision. I want to find a church that knows how to worship God. I want to find a church where there's people that have experienced miracles. I want to find a church that is about doing something for God and not just having church on Sundays. Because that's not all we do. We come here this morning just to get our marching orders. And all week, we go out and serve in the community. Amen. God has called us to reach the hurting, to reach the lost. And that's the plan of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission was to go out and make disciples of all men. Not just to gather in groups, but to go out and reach the lost and the hurting. And that's our vision. If you ever say, well, what's the vision of Victory Outreach? You can just say, lost souls. Reaching hurting people, amen, and reaching families. And so we want to welcome you. Hope you'll come back. Hope you'll make your way back. We have so much going on. You heard all the announcements, but I want to do a special plug because these Monday nights, man, have been amazing with the ladies. They're in different houses around the whole city. And then we have also life groups on Friday nights that are our general life groups. There's several of them. So find one of those. I think you'll find yourself in a place where you can meet some people and ask some questions if you have any. And grow, come and grow with us. And of course, we have a Wednesday night service that is just outstanding. It's been growing. Man, I've been blown away. Our Wednesday night is starting to grow, but it won't be the same without you there. And if you're here part of our church on Sunday, listen, you know, you're missing out on one of the greatest services of the week. Wednesday nights are absolutely amazing. And they're not a very long service, but I'll tell you right now, God's been moving. We have several of our speakers in our church that are dynamic speakers that we unleash them to come and speak on Wednesday nights, and God moves. And so we want to welcome you to come, and we hope you'll come to that as well. If you need more information, you can always get on our website, voabq.org, or if you fill out a card, they're going to be sending you updates on events. We have events going all the time. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles real quick. I'm going to read one verse, and then you can be seated. I want to thank this amazing worship team. You guys did amazing all weekend. By the way, I want to thank everybody for coming out to the summit. I'm telling you right now, this was absolutely one of the greatest regional summits we have ever had. Man, there was fire preached on this pulpit. The altars were full. People got marching orders. Things happened. I'm telling you right now, God moved in a spectacular way. And, of course, I want to thank personally everybody who made the birthday party special for me yesterday. It was a little difficult because I know we were going through the family. And so if I didn't look like I was at the top of my game, I was going through it for my wife. Amen. But I tell you, I had a blast. It was so fun. I was amazed at all the things you know about me. Because they had this big old game on the things, and everybody had to click things about things they knew about me. And I was like, a lot of people know about me, like a lot of stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know. So it was cool. But I thank you for the gifts. Thank you so much for the blessings. I don't take it lightly ever. I don't ever expect anything, and I was so blessed. When I drove away from here, I thought to myself, how amazing it is to be loved by people, man. And so thank you. Thank you so, so much. Amen. I'm really, really blessed. I want to thank our team for this whole weekend. This weekend was an amazing weekend, and I know our region will never be the same. John chapter 10, and we're going to just read one verse, and you can be seated. Amen. John 10 and 10, and it reads like this. In the New King James Version, it reads, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. In other words, he said, I didn't just come to give you life, I came to give you something a little more than just life. I came to give you an abundant life. I came to give you a life that is more than what you can see with the natural eye. I came to give you an abundance of love, an abundance of victory, an abundance of faith. Listen, when Jesus comes into your life, he doesn't just give you a little life. He gives you a life more abundant. How many of you want an abundant life this morning? I said, how many of you want a life more abundant? Listen, you say, well, I'm satisfied. I'm just satisfied with what I got. I want to be humble. No. There's other ways to be humble. You'll be humble, brother, when your wife says something out of place and you feel like getting all up in her face. That's when you'll be humble. Sister, you, I just want to be humble. I'm good with what I have, and I'm good. No, okay, that's not humble. Because God has more for you. He has more Holy Ghost for you. He's got more word for you. Listen, the word you got 10 years ago was good. Good. Keep it in your Bible. Underline it. Put some marker on it. That's good. But how about a new word? How about a new word that God wants to give you this morning, today, this week? God has more for you. It's not just about what you got. It's about what He wants to give you more. Come on, somebody shout out more. Somebody shout out more. An abundant life He has for your life. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you the kind of stuff that only He can give you. The world can't give it to you. Money can't give it to you. Your job can't give it. And you know what? I can't give it to you. The church can't give it to you. Only He can give it to you. Turn to somebody and say, He wants to give you more. And you can be seated. I want to talk to you today about the abundant life. About living a life more abundantly. Because I really believe with all my heart that we get shorted in life a lot of times because we don't realize and understand how much God has for us. I really believe that with all my heart. How many of you can agree that there's been a time in your life where you felt like, hey, you didn't deserve anything and you weren't going to get no more. You weren't going to never get a different job. You were never going to upscale your house. You were never going to. And then all of a sudden you realized and you kicked into the blessings of God and God blessed your life. And you said, wait a minute. I can't believe I was living beneath where I thought I should be at. Because the devil will try to convince you that you ain't got nothing coming. And even if you're a millionaire, you might say, "Oh yeah, I got all this, but God don't got my back because you know I got everything already, so He probably figures I don't need to bless Him anymore." But see, I've known a lot of very wealthy people that had no peace, that were suicidal, and I thought to myself, you know, I can't. In my mind, I didn't tell them this, but in my mind, I'm like, "How can you be suicidal? You got everything you ever wanted and everything everybody's chasing, yet you got everything and you have no peace." It's crazy. It is amazing how the human mind and the human heart function. And we function, we search for what we think is supposed to make us happy and blessed, and we realize at the end of the rainbow it's not the pot of gold we thought was supposed to be there. You search and you search. We search, we seek, we passionately pursue abundance, and that's not where it's at. You pursue God, and then God gives you abundance. See, I heard it said like this a long time ago, that abundance comes when you're in the presence of God. See, when we chase abundance, we're chasing the wrong thing. We're supposed to pursue God because God attaches Himself to abundance. And so what He does is because He attaches Himself to abundance, then what He does when we pursue Him, then He attaches us to abundance. You're going to get this when you're on the way home, maybe. You might get this with your cup of coffee tomorrow when you open up your Bible and reread this scripture and say, oh, that's what He was talking about. You see, God has so much for you. There's so many of you here this morning are living beneath your means. You're living beneath the blessings of God who has for you. There's so many of you here sitting there this morning that you're trying to make it. You want a better marriage, but you can't believe for a better marriage because you think, you know what, you blew it. I want you to know something. Whatever happened in the past is in the past. You got a fresh start starting today. You got a fresh start maybe 2 years ago when you got saved or when you decided you guys were going to make it in your marriage. Listen, your marriage is not over because you had a bunch of issues in your marriage. That the miracle is, the victory is that you guys can have an abundant marriage. That you can have an abundant life. That you can chalk up all that trash from the past. You can chalk it up as a chapter in your book that you can testify about to your friends and your family. And when they look at you and say, I can't believe you're still together after all you've been through, you can say, well, it wasn't us. It was everything God's able to do. You see, an abundant life. I feel like abundance is coming to you. Coming to us. There's abundance coming to your life. I'm talking about next level blessing. I'm talking about elevating. We've been talking about the spirit of elevation. Like it's time for us to elevate, for us to climb to another place we have never been to before. I'm talking about the kind of place where you have always wanted to be, but you've never been able to be. Listen, I remember those days. I remember those days when I was so addicted to drugs. I was so messed up. I was so lost. I was so unfaithful in my marriage. I was so violent and so angry and so ready to hurt anybody. And all those things, the way I lived, and on the whim, I would just go off and my mind was so messed up. But I'll never forget when I got saved, I was told, God will put that behind you. Now you got to start growing in the future. And I for a while, I couldn't understand. I was satisfied by just having my sins forgiven. I didn't realize that God had an abundant life for me, that he wanted to heal my heart, that he wanted to heal me, that he wanted to do some things in my life that I couldn't even think he could do. I thought to myself, I owed him because of all I did against him for the kingdom of darkness, for against my family. And I thought, I owe God. And so I'm satisfied. The cross is good and that's it. That's over. I'll be humbled the rest of my life and I'll just walk like that. And then God began to reveal to me and began to speak to my heart and say, I've got more for you, Danny. I got more for you. Listen, it's not just about once you get saved. That's the beginning of a life. I don't know how many years we got on this earth. My mother-in-law had 85 years. She's been serving the Lord for a long time. God gave her, she finished her race well. But I want you to know something right now, that God didn't just come to save us. He came to give us a life. Jesus looked at his disciples and he looked at the people around him and he said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Think about where you were at before you gave your life to the Lord. Or you might be there right now, right here today, where the devil's been ripping you off. He's been playing you like a fool. I know he played me like a fool, man. He thought he convinced me. And then I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision that, you know what? And he had, and the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He was trying to destroy my marriage. He was trying to kill me. I mean, so many times he tried to kill me. I mean, you know, think about it. Think about the times. Some of you have been through some situations. I know who I'm speaking to this morning. I know how many people in here. A lot of you have been shot at. Some of you have been shot and stabbed. Some of you have been, they try to hit you in the joint. A lot of things, I know who I'm speaking to, not everybody, but a lot of you have been through some stuff. You made it out, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm alive. Think about that for a minute. I think about times when people tried to shoot at me and hit somebody else. I think about times where I was in accidents, and I was supposed to die, but I didn't die. Why? Because God had a plan for my life. The devil's trying to kill me and trying to destroy my life. He's been trying to destroy my life since day one, and he's been after you too. He's been after your family, and sometimes we just sit there and let him do it. It's really weird because you wouldn't do that when you were in the world and people try to front you. You wouldn't do that. But then when the devil does it, you just sit there and say, well, I don't know what to do. Listen, you got to fight. And the way we fight in Christianity is you fight on your knees. You fight through prayer in the morning. You get up and say, devil, you ain't got no play with my marriage, with my kids. Now get your filthy hands off my money. Get your filthy hands off my church. Get your filthy hands off my sons and daughters. That's how you fight. We're not fighting in the flesh anymore. Most of you know how to do that. Now you know how to learn how to twist that up and say, you know, wait a minute. I'm going to fight the devil because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But then Jesus says, but I came to give life. A life more abundant. Not just saved. I mean, if he ever did anything for you other than save you, that's a pretty good deal, I think. But come on, somebody. There's more to it. He has so much more for you. See, when I talk about elevating this year, climbing, we think about climbing the mountain. We talked a lot about Mount Everest in the last couple of weeks, about Moses climbing the mountain. He had to climb up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. He had to get up there to talk to God. And see, in that mountain, the mountain of God is where God speaks. Figuratively speaking, you don't have to literally climb the Sandia Mountains to get closer to God. I know it's 10,000 feet, but you can get close to God right here at 5,000 feet. Or if you want to go down the ocean and get to zero, you can get close to God right there at the ocean. I felt the Lord when I'm walking down the beach. Come on, somebody. I felt him when I've been on the mountains hunting. It doesn't matter, but for figuratively speaking, we have to climb to that place. And it takes a little effort. little effort to climb to that place. And so if you want elevated blessing, if you want next level blessing, that tells me that you have to first and foremost, you have to believe that God has more for you. Can you believe for that today? Can you believe God has more in your marriage? Can you believe God has more for your future? You might be broken down and say, no, I don't even know what my future holds, but I want you to know something. With God, there is everything is possible. All things are possible. I don't care what you've been through or what you've done. You know what? If you keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith, if you keep your eyes on the one who went to the cross for you, if you keep your eyes on the one who can heal, on the one who doesn't just forgive, but he puts you and gives you purpose, then you know what? Your life is going to be more abundant. See, God said that he is bringing abundance to us. That's what the word God gave my wife in early January and last December. He spoke to me as well, and he confirmed that God is going to bring us elevation. He's going to begin to bring next level, because that word elevated in the dictionary means next level, going to the next place a little. And he's getting ready to give you next level blessings in your family. Next, listen, some of your kids that were not doing good in school are all of a sudden, they're going to start coming and saying, look, I got straight A's, and you're going to consider that as next level blessing. Listen, money's not always the best thing, the only thing that God wants to bless you with. So get that out of your mind. Well, a lot of times just seeing your child this report card and knowing that they're interested in school and not gangbanging or doing drugs. Listen, that ought to be good for you. You ought to be able to say, man, I'm so blessed. A lot of times we misconstrue things. So I want to say this morning, get your heart ready. So you got to prepare. You have to position yourself. You got to prepare yourself for the incoming blessings. Get your stuff in order. So God can bless you. God don't want to bless a mess. Hello, somebody. It's your time. You've been wondering. Well, the Lord had me come and speak this morning. It's your time. It's your time of blessing. It's your time where God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your business. He wants to bless what you do. You thought he left you because you messed up. But I got news for you. That's not the God I serve. If it was that, it would have killed me a long time ago. Listen, I want you to know something right now. That God always has his eye on us. Even when I was out there all ripping and all messed up, man, he had his eye on me because I had an encounter with God when I was like 15, 16 years old. And I turned my back on God and I knew God was with me. And I knew he was, but I couldn't believe I was living. I couldn't believe I knew so much about God, but I ran from him. I was miserable. I could never get high in peace. I tried every night, and I was never at peace. Of course, it could have been something to do with my wife and my four little girls at the house praying, God, make him sick if he gets high, Lord. God, don't let him feel good when he gets high. Maybe it was some of that. I don't know. Just don't kill him, God. Until towards the end, maybe they might have started praying that way. I don't know. Maybe it's time to get rid of him, Lord. I don't know. He's so messed up. So let me say again, don't pursue abundance, pursue God, because he attaches himself to abundance, then he'll connect you to that when you need it, the right timing's coming. There's a certain timing that God has for you to bless your life. Some of you want to quickly, the moment you have a little feeling, you think you love somebody. Sometimes you got to wait on that blessing. Take your time. Take your time. Take it easy, man. Come on, brother. Sister, take your time. Don't be moved like that. The word elevate, it means to raise up, to lift up, to go to the next level, to take up, to move on upwards. My question to you today is, can you handle the abundance God's getting ready to give you? Some of you, if God was to give you the abundance that he wants to give you right now, he won't give it to you right now because he knows you're not ready. But if he was to bestow it upon you right now, it would probably destroy you because you wouldn't handle it. Because sometimes prosperity can bring peril. Sometimes when you're blessed like heavily financially, it can mess you up. Haven't you read all those things about the lottery winners, the big lottery winners? They win $300 million and then all of a sudden their life is just shattered. They're gone. They're all messed up. I know you're saying, I wouldn't be like that. You don't know. See, God wants to bless your life. He might even want to bless you with a wife. But can you handle a wife? You check out your place first, a little bit first. I always tell my grandsons, don't you be starting to try to fall in love with somebody at 15, 16 years old, so to the point where you want to get married right there. I said, don't do that. I said, you don't even got a car. You don't got a house. You ain't got a bank account. You know what I mean? I think that's fake gold you're wearing. Just stop. You just look at me like, I go, come on, man. Learn from me. I didn't have I had totaled my car when I fell in love with Bart. I can't believe she fell in love with me. I had no car. I had no place to live. I had to take her home. Like home to my house. See, if you don't change the way you handle your life and your family and your ministry and your business and all the things, you're going to spring a leak, man. When God blesses your business, you can say, oh, man, business is going good. But it'll spring a leak someplace, and it'll start leaking out. It'll leak out because you're not ready to hold that amount. You have to be ready. You know, there's certain times where you have to recoat things, like different kind of basins, and you have to coat things like that because a lot of times what'll happen, some of that stuff will get old because they're good, but they're old, so there's some preparation. You have to prepare so that it won't leak out. Huh? If you're going to get to the next level blessing, next level increase, then you have got to have next level habits. Like, for instance, Pastor Pat was talking about tithes earlier. Some of you get all weirded out when it talks about that, but I understand. I was the same way. First 6 months I got, you know, I was used to having a big old wad like that. And not just in my pocket, but everywhere. Stashed everywhere. I'd be given a check. I'd go, what are you doing? I mean, this is my dad and mom's church. And I was complaining about her giving $75. I go, why'd you give $75? She goes, that was our tithe, babe. And I go, it's not my tithe. She goes, yeah. I go, why is it so much? Well, can we just give like a dollar like we always have? Because, you know, we used to go to St. Therese and just give a dollar on 4th Street. We give our dollar, get a little paper, and then we're cool. She goes, no. The tithe is 10% of our income. She goes, I give like 15 or 20. I go, since when? She goes, for a long time, even before you were saved. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, what are you complaining about? You always had a wad. Who cared? You had all kinds of money. I go, oh, do we have to do this? She goes, well, you don't have to do this if you don't want to be blessed. She goes, but if you want to be blessed, honey, she goes, I think the reason why we're still alive, why you're alive, is I've been tithing for you. I go, okay. I said, okay. I had a hard time. And this was my pop, my dad's church. I saw the miracle that God changed my dad from being a heroin addict and a gang member and I still was questioning God. Because see, what I'm talking about today is not about money, but I have to bring that in there because I know some of you. Even, you know, you might be thinking, oh, no, nobody wants your money. Can you imagine God saying, I need your money? The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the gold, all the silver. He don't need your money. He just wants your faith. See, if the blessing comes and you're struggling, you're going to leak it out. I'm talking about if God wants to bless you in a relationship, if you're still acting the same way you were in the prior relationship, if you're still doing the same things, you're not going to get a different result. You're going to have the same result or worse. You see, don't spring a leak when God gets ready to pour out. Matthew 9:17. Turn with me real quick. Just one verse. Jesus told the disciples, he told them, he says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. The old wineskin would burst from the pressure spilling the wine and ruining the skins. You see, what he was talking about is that new wine had to be stored in a new wineskin. That way both the wine and the wineskins would be preserved, because if not, it would leak out. That's why you need to prepare your vessel. You're the vessel. God wants to pour out newness inside of you. See, some of you have businesses, you've been satisfied with the accounts you have. Look at that. Look at how small our mentality can be. You might have a great business mind, and you're satisfied with the little accounts you have, and God is saying, I want to pour out big accounts to your life. But if you're not ready for that next level blessing, then what's going to happen is it's going to leak out. And God is saying, I don't want you to leak out. I designed you in my image. I am attached to abundance, so I want to attach you to abundance. But the only way I can do that is if you're ready for it. So if you're ready for next level blessing, then you need to start having some next level habits. Come on, somebody. I don't know if it's going to get inside you or not. Some of you have already been prepared for abundance. You're like ready. You're like on the end of your seat. Say, I'm ready for that, man, Pastor. I have my affairs in order. I'm blessed, man. I got my habits are going good. I'm not the way I used to be. I'm not acting the way I used to. I don't say things. I don't think like I used to think. I think differently than the way I used to think. Some of you got to start this week today. You got to start right now because your blessing is coming pretty quick and it's going to leak out when you get it. Many of you have been healed for abundance. You've literally been healed. God has healed your heart for abundance, but some of you have not, and you need to still get some healing. See, for many, God has healed your relationships. God has healed your mind. He's healed your spirit, so you're ready now. But for some of you, you still need some healing. Some of you still need to seek that healing. God has healed you of a lot of old, dried up habits that would waste the promised blessing that he desires to give to you. But if it were released into the old way you do things, I'm telling you right now, that same attitude, those same kind of things that you like to do, that you feel accustomed to do, that character that is associated with your lack of self-control, and your blessing's going to be wasted because you weren't prepared. Today, you got to reshape and renew the way you think, the way you do things. You see, we need to prepare so that we'll know what to do with the abundance when we get it. Some of you say, well, if I get an inheritance and I get $200,000, I'm going to tithe and our church is going to be blessed. No, you're not. There's only a few of you in this house will do it. Some of you have already done it. You know who you are. You'll do it for sure. You will do it because you've done it before. You've done it when you got $200. You came to the church running with 20 bucks. I got blessed. See, if you can't do it on $200 financially, you're not going to do it when you get $200,000. You're going to give 20 bucks. And think nobody knows. But he knows. See, it is necessary to learn how to manage your life as a good steward. Manage your marriage. Manage your children. Man, you promised that you wouldn't be like your dad or mom. Man, all they did was antagonize me. All they did was just... And then you do worse. You almost drive them out of the house. And your worst nightmare became, you became worse than you ever thought you'd be. Hammer on them and hammer on them and hammer on them instead of discipling them, showing them. And then when you need the hammer, you pull the hammer out. But not every day, not for everything, like a nervous wreck, driving them crazy and chasing them away. But then on the opposite end, you said, I'll never spank my children. You didn't, and now some of them are doing time. There's just so much to this stuff. God wants to give abundance. Love your kids. But if you love your kids, you'll correct your kids too. And the list goes on and on. That's for a different family Bible study I'm going to do with us. Amen? But my question is, are you ready for abundance? Are you tired of not having abundance? Are you ready to get some abundance in your life? That's about a good 19 of you. But are you ready for some abundance in your life? Like I could use some abundance. I need some love, man. You know what, I need some next level blessing. I need to be able to know that my car's not going to break down anymore. God. I just need to know, man. I just need to know that, you know what, that I'm just going to walk in you and I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. I'm tired of having misery in my life. I'm serving the Lord and I'm coming to church, but nobody knows, but I'm miserable inside. I don't have peace. I want you to know God wants to give you that peace inside of you. Listen, you don't have to live like that, man. God wants to came to give you a life more abundant. See, are you ready for next level blessing? Can you handle the anointed blessing that God's getting ready to pour on you? See that word abundance here in John, in the book of in the New Testament, there, that original language, this is the word abundance. I came to give you a life more abundant. It means this. It means excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, above the ordinary, and more than sufficient. Listen, you can't, some of you can't handle that because you don't think you deserve it. But let me tell you a little bit about grace. Let me tell you about God's mercy. The Bible says in Micah that He gives us mercy that we don't deserve. Let me tell you something about grace. Grace, what it really means is you get what you never deserved. If it wasn't for grace, I'd be dead right now. If it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't be married right now with a beautiful family. I wouldn't enjoy being able to be in the ministry. I would have died a long time ago. I'd be behind the walls of a prison cell right now. Let me tell you why. Because it was God's grace that came and said, you know what? You don't deserve it, Danny. You've done so bad, Danny. But I'm going to let my blood I shed on Calvary cover all those sins. I'm going to take them. I'm going to bundle them up. And I'm going to put them in the ocean, to the bottom of the ocean where you'll never see them again. I'm only going to warn you and say, don't go back to them. There ain't nothing back there for us. There's nothing back there. There's nothing but trauma and pain. That's all there is. And if that's what you want more pain and more trauma, then go back. But if you want abundant life, you move forward. And you let God's grace kick in and let it become a revelation to your mind that you're special to God. The Bible says He calls you His own special treasure. Look at our promise scripture of Victory Outreach. I told Pastor Sonny was a heroin addict, man, from the streets of New York. He used to rob people. He used to hurt people. He used to rob his own mom. He's horrible. He was the drug. We look at him like that, but he's talked about how bad he was, and God saved him almost 60 years ago. And look what God has used him to do. But God said, I'm going to give you an abundant life. God gave him the scripture, and we all enjoy it. He says, I will give you the treasures out of darkness. You know who those treasures are? Those treasures are you and I. We're treasures. We're treasure. You're a treasure out of darkness. God specializes in using the craziest people to do the most amazing things. Paul was a straight murderer. Apostle Paul wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament. God used a man that was killing Christians. God specializes in using like people that shouldn't be used. You know, my own friends at times in the past have told me, they let you be a pastor? Do they know you? Do they know what you used to do? Are you still doing that? I go, no, brother, come on. Even my own father-in-law, Ernie Grego, I've been thinking about him a lot this week because of, you know, our family. But he used to tell me, even 5-6 years later, he's telling me, no traes nada. With that, for those of you who understand, you don't have nothing? And I'd say, no. I said, it's been 5 years, brother. I won't tell Barbara. Because he was in Rata. He was a straight homeboy from Martinez Town. It was Dogtown. I said, I don't do that no more, bro. Come on, man. You know what? He got saved. He eventually got saved. He's in heaven. Your mama saw him. The first thing she walked in those pearly gates yesterday, she opened up and, woo, there's Ernie right there. You know? In our text, Jesus makes a declaration. And he says, I got you. Really, the urban meaning of this, the other one I talked about over more than enough, surplus, mine is like, what I think it means is Jesus says, I got you. I know you don't think so. I know you don't think you deserve it, but I got you. You belong to me, he says. I paid a price for you. I shed my blood on the cross for you. Your life has been paid. There's been a redemption price paid for you. And I paid it. You owed it, but I paid it. I got you. I should have titled this message, I Got You, instead of An Abundant Life. He doesn't just say that he wants to give you an abundant life. He says, I want to give you a more abundant life. I heard a story the other day. I don't know when I was watching. You know, on Instagram, you hear so much things and stuff. And then TV, I'll constantly hear about it. I heard this story, and I wrote this down right away because I didn't want to forget it. But the story went like this. There's a kid by the name of Johnny. And every single night, he would fall out of his bed. Boom. His mom would hear him and go into the room, get him, put him back in the bed every night. I don't know if you've ever had a kid like that. Some of you are like, are you sure his name is Johnny? His name's not. But she'd have to go put him in the bed. And then he began to realize how frustrated his mom gets after like a long time of just coming to put him every the middle of the night, her picking him up and then go back to bed. Then he'd fall out every night, every single night. Roll over and boom. And so he realized how frustrated she was getting. And he asked her, why do I keep on falling out of the bed, Mama? And she answered, maybe because you never really get all the way in the bed. I think once I get there, I think he wants to be with her. So he kind of like gets on the edge and he stays on the edge of the bed. See? Maybe that's why you keep on falling off. Because maybe you're just on the edge of the bed and you're good with that. You're close enough to where you can still, maybe you're not all the way in. I mean, I don't know. When I was in the neighborhood, I was all the way in, man. All the way. And I used to tell Barb, come on, babe, go to church with me. And I'd say, nah, I ain't going to half step. So when I go in, I'm going all in. I go, I'm all in what I'm doing right now. She goes, come on, babe, just try. God will honor you. Come in. I go, nah. So when I'm ready, I'll be all in. She goes, okay. So it was all right. And so that's what I did. When I got saved, I immediately went to my family. I went to my friends, my homies, went to each one of them to their houses. I said, listen, this is the way things are going to be now. Because I was their leader. I was a leader anyway. I told him, listen, we're not going to deal in drugs. He goes, we're not going to deal drugs tomorrow. I go, no, we're not dealing drugs tomorrow. He goes, well, you're not, but I am. I said, we're not doing those things no more. Don't invite me to parties no more. I said, I'm going to stay home finally with my family and go to church on Sundays. Of course, we had church Friday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then my dad expected us to all be in Bible study with the men's home every morning. And we're like, 7 days a week. You know? Maybe you're not all the way in. See, if you get all the way in, you'll fulfill God's calling in your life. There's a lot of people who just casually serve the Lord. Just casually just get in the bed and kind of just hang off the edge like that, and then you fall off. You realize, oh, man, I've got to get back to things. And God is saying, don't casually serve the Lord. Don't just date God. The Bible says he's the groomsman, and we're the bride. And let me give you some peace, guys. God will not make you wear high heels. My pops used to say that. I don't mind being the bride, Lord. You know my dad was a pachuco. He said, I don't mind wearing the dress, the wedding dress. I know we're the bride of Christ, but Lord, please don't make me wear no high heels, God. Sometimes we just want to date God. We don't want to marry him. Because we know if we marry him, then we got to be committed all the way. I'll visit you on Sunday, but don't you dare ask me for no Wednesday. I don't know what that pastor's thinking about up there. Summit? I ain't going to know extra stuff. I just go on Sundays. Don't ask me to get involved either. They were trying to ask me to get involved. Hey, would you like to usher? No. You've been here like for 13 years now. Pretty faithful. Just asking, would you like to maybe usher? No. I feel offended. Really? Don't ask me to commit to nothing. You see, if you get all the way in and just stop visiting Jesus, stop flirting with Jesus and just winking at him, stop playing games with him, you might just never fall off again. You may just stay on the bed this time. You may not fall in the middle of the night, find yourself on the ground, say, what in the world? I can't believe I fell off again. Think about that for a minute. Just think about what God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you abundant life. A lot of people in churches today, I was reading an article last night that there is a massive shortage, a massive shortage of pastors in mega churches. Hundreds of mega churches in America do not have a senior pastor. And nobody can qualify because they have to have all these qualifications, and you have to have pastored a church more than 500 to 1,000 people, and you have to have done this, and you have to do that, and they come and test you out, and they come and give you a panel, and they do this, and they say, no, you're not ready for this, you're not ready for that. And I can understand that's a pretty hard job to run a church of 15, 12,000, 20,000. That's like a huge community. But they can't find pastors. They cannot find pastors to do it. It's crazy how we as believers, we want what we want, but we forget that it's not really about what we want, it's about what God wants. And there's some certain ingredients, and I don't have time to get them all if they can come to the keyboard. I don't have time to get all in all of them, but I do want to give you some of them. There are some certain ingredients that bring abundance. Obviously, being close, I said it already, being close to God. You know, being just seek God, pursue God. And God will give you abundance in your marriage and your family and your finances and your business and your, you know, your spiritual life and the things you like to do. He'll pour out the abundance, but you got to get close to Him. So the first point I want to make is that the first ingredient is availability. You got to be available to God. You say, I'm here, God. Whatever you need from me, I'm here. Isaiah 6 and 8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. You just got to be able to say, I'm available, Lord. See, available, he was available for God. Notice his response is reverent. He gave himself completely to the Lord in surrender. So whatever you need from me. He didn't specify where or what. He says, just send me, I'll do it, whatever you need. Second thing that we need, and this is position yourself, you position yourself for absolute abundance, more than enough abundance. You gotta be dependable, man. Be dependable with God. Make sure that every day you're talking to Him. Be dependable. Don't just talk to Him once a week or once every 2 weeks whenever you have a crisis. I mean, if that's the way you do it right now, hey, there's grace. Like I said, God's grace. Can you imagine? I never talked to God except when I was in trouble. Whenever I was pulled over and I had something I was not supposed to have in my vehicle, like a lot of something I wasn't supposed to have, I'd be sweating, and I'd be trying to get to wipe the sweat off. I'd say, hello, officer, yeah, here's my stuff, like that. And they say, okay, well, you'll get that taillight fixed. Like, please don't ask me to open the trunk. Grace, man. I understand that grace. I understand that kind of grace now. But I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about the kind of grace that you already know. And you're missing those appointments with God. Don't miss them no more. I'm telling you right now, the best thing to do is just get before God in the morning. You know, don't get on Instagram or Facebook. Get hold of God. Just talk to Him. Just sit there with Him. Get a cup of coffee. Get your Bible, whatever you know. And your breakfast. Just sit there and talk with Him and say, Lord, I everything's going great, but direct me. Or you know what? Things are horrible. I don't know what to expect today at my job. I might get fired. But God, you're my provider. You know, just talk with Him every single day. Be dependable. Show up. You know, there's some dependable people in this church. You cannot be here for 4 months and still show up, and those same ushers are going to be right there. Hello, those greeters are going to be there. How you doing? People in the parking lot. Hey, how's it going? There's a parking for you right here. Hey, the same people are going to be here because they're dependable people. They've learned how to be dependable. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be made found faithful. We have some faithful people. The third one is responsible. You want abundance? Be responsible with what you have now. Be a good steward of what you have now so God can give you more so you can be responsible. And then the fourth and last is be stable. God's looking for stable people. Some of you are stable now. You know there was a time when you weren't stable. Stay faithful in your stability. Stay faithful. Be stable. Let God work in you. See, in this season of your life, there's no room for distractions. There's no room for you to start looking back someplace else. See, a lot of times when you get real blessed is when you start looking other places. Because you forget God. But when you're desperate for God, you're like, oh God. When you're blessed. This is a warning that God's going to get ready to bless. Next level blessing. Don't begin to look other places. The Bible says there was a generation in in Judges chapter 2, a generation that when Joshua died, a generation rose up that didn't know the Lord anymore. They followed other gods. Think about that. We can never be of that type. You always got to serve the Lord. You always got to remember. You know how you do that? Remember what God did for you. I never forget how God delivered me 31 years ago from the life I was living. I've tried to keep true to that. And say, you know what, God, I remember the way it felt to be miserable. I remember how it was when I was losing my marriage. I remember how it was when I was suicidal. I remember how it was when I thought I had everything, but I had nothing. I remember, and I never want to be back there again. There's nothing but pain and trauma back there. God wants to elevate you in a way you can't even think about Him. So He has to first elevate your mentality. He wants to bless you, but you can't do the same with what you get, what you did in the past. He's not just a barely enough get by God. He's a God of more than enough. Three things He'll give you. First, He'll give you your presence. Honey, I pray God's presence all over you this week in such a way that you've never even felt it. And you've been feeling God's presence for a long time. But His presence to just saturate you. God wants to give you His presence. It's in God's presence that you get the abundance you really, really need. It gets you through the tough days, and it gets you through the good days. Because sometimes at the end of a good day, you forget God. Don't never forget God. You can't make it without His presence. When you need His presence, He'll always be there. When you need His grace and His mercy, He'll always be there. And what happens in His presence is transformation and change, elevation. That's where you get the fire. And the list goes on and on of prayer. Prayer, just getting in this, that's what takes you to the presence. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God will power you and lead you and comfort you and show you which way to go. And He'll do stuff that only He can do. See, it's the fuel for your life. Get in the river, man. We've been talking about the river all this beginning this year. Get in that river, because that's where the presence of God is. Second thing is He'll give you His peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Here's another letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Colossae. From a prison cell, because they arrested him because he was preaching the gospel. And there he is chained up, and they're writing a letter for him. And he says this, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Imagine him being able to have that. He had the kind of peace to be able to write from a shackled up prison cell, a dungeon, write to the church of Colossae and say, hey guys, let peace rule in your hearts, man. And think to myself, how do you have peace? They're going to execute you soon. You're on the chop block for execution, and you're telling them, hey, man, make sure you have peace. This guy had peace. Only you can only say it if you got it. Philippians, the church of Philippi, he wrote chapter 4, verse 7, says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace, the peace that surpasses all human understanding. A peace that flows like a river. A more than enough kind of peace. That's what He wants to give you. And lastly, His provision. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says in the New Living Translation, and God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. He's a supplier, man. In the NIV, it reads like this. I love this. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times. Everybody say all things. Somebody say all times. Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, the devil's going to try to remind you of your past in order to keep you from enjoying the life that God wants to give you. And that's where you got to fight him. That's where you got to put your dukes up. That's where you got to say, you know what? Not anymore. You've led me too long. I'm done with you, fool. I'm done. It's over. I'm going to deal with you right now. And that's how you deal with the devil. You have to deal with the devil in warfare. There has to be warfare. You cannot deal with him like, you know, real peacefully and real nice. You've got to stand in his face and say, no more! I belong to the one who paid a price for my life. Enough is enough. I'm not going to let my children get to the wayside. I'm not going to be a bad example no more. I'm going to stand up and fight. I'm going to be the one in my family that makes a difference. I'm going to change things for my family. family. I'm going to change things for my community, for my friends. People are going to see. And if they look at me, they're going to see, that guy's a miracle. She's a miracle. I know she is. I know the way they were. Look at the peace they have. Look at the prosperity they have. They couldn't have done that on their own. There's no way they could have done that on their own. It was only God. Stand to your feet with me. The thief doesn't come but to steal and kill and destroy. I've come to give you life, he said, and that life to have it more abundantly. Oh, God is good. That declaration is, he's like, I got you, man. I got a word for you this morning. God's got you. Don't you worry about a thing. God has you. He has your back. He has your front. He has your side. He has underneath. He has over. He has you. He has you. He has you. He's got you. Abundance is coming. My preparation message to you is get ready for the abundance. Get ready to contain what God's about to give you. He's a more than enough God. If you'll be ready, it won't leak. I want to ask you to do this. I want to make two altar calls today. I want to make an altar call for those that say, I want to be ready for the abundance. And that means you're going to have to step into some faith. But that's going to take some things. You're going to have to prepare your vessels. Because if he pours it out, you don't want it to leak. That's your heart. You got to get anything that's in your heart, let it come out. And let him coat your heart with his precious anointing and his blood. So that way what he pours in your heart won't leak out. No more. It's been leaking out too much. Second altar call I want to make is for those of you that say, you know what, I'm tired of just being halfway in the bed. Just playing with God. Winking at God. Just, you know. I'm tired of being there. I don't want to be there no more. I'm not falling out the bed. It's time for me to have peace. It's time for me to be able to finally, once and for all, be in the place where I don't fall out no more. I don't fall off anymore. But I stay faithfully, dependably, and stable. I want to make an altar call for those of you that say, you know what, it's because I'm not all in. I'm not saved. I've never given my life to Jesus, or I did give my life to Jesus, but I don't know if I can't surrender completely to God. I'm having a hard time. You know what it is? The devil. The devil's trying to fight you, to stop you, because he knows that you're a testimony for God's grace. He knows that if he can get a, if God gets a hold of you, you're gonna destroy his kingdom. So I want to make an altar call for those of you that say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I want to give my heart to God. I want to make an altar call for those who say, you know what, I know the Lord, but I'm halfway in. I'm winking at God. I'm just flirting with God. I'm just dating God. And it's about time I get married to the Lord this morning. So if that's you today, or if you say, Pastor, I want my heart to be ready for abundance, then I want them to say, sing this song. I want to invite you to come to this front of the altar. And I want you to make a decision here this morning that no more flirting with God. No more winking at God. No more playing games. I'm tired. I'm having less than. I know that God wants to give me more than. I want more in my spirit, and I want to be ready. I want you to prepare my heart. If you don't know the Lord, come and give your heart to Jesus this morning, and watch what he does. Watch what he does. He has a plan for you. Oh, he has a life for you that's more abundant. I'm going to challenge you. If you don't know the Lord, come. I'm going to wait for you. Oh,
and the world has its pain, but I adhere to the call inside of me.
He's taking me.
He said to get me deeper.
To go deeper with him this morning.
Deeper, deeper.